Well, yeah. I remember years ago when I became a pastor, lead pastor. My biggest worry was about preaching every Sunday. That's still my biggest worry. But I think it was, you know, it was like, what do you preach on? You know, we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and I really like those kind of series and books. And but I also to take advantage of seasons and circumstances in the world, or in this case, holidays, celebration of Mother's Day. And I am just like you can go on Easter, you can know you're probably going to hear something about Jesus rising from the dead. Something about him dying on the cross for our sins. And it's opportunities that we get to come together and talk about. And so I'm doing a Mother's Day sermon today. And it's shocking as it is, but it's you know, rich kids about, you know, we all can relate. Every single one of us has a mom. You know, and all get different kinds of relationships. Some really, this is like an amazing, beautiful time. And others, it's difficult and painful. But it doesn't change the fact that there have been, whether it was your mom or another mom that was influential in who you became. You know, I think about the reasons we celebrate events is that we want to remember. We want to remember their significant role in our lives. It's like, this person did this thing and it impacted me. Their willingness to sacrifice in what they did, whether it's a soldier in the military or a mom who gave up a career because they said, this is more important. I want to parent my child. I want to raise a kid. And we celebrate that what we have today is a result of somebody's sacrifice. You know, I'm here today because of my mom deciding to say, I want to have children and family. And I got to be one of really ultimately six kids that my mom had. I had a younger brother who died before he was a year old. And then the five kids remembered, and we're still all alive and kicking. I got two older sisters and a younger brother and a younger sister, five of us, who all love the Lord, all very different personalities. I'm sure you can relate, right? Same parents, same environment, and be totally different people. But still, we have gathered together and enjoy each other. I think about we celebrate Mother's Day is just that significant. Somebody who's sacrificed for us and had a role in us becoming who we are. And it is, that's why we want to honor moms today. And I think about clear back in 1905, when the mother of Ann Jarvis passed away, and she says, as she was impacted by her mom and recognizes the sacrifice that moms make for their kids, she said, I want to, and she started making a publicity about having a Mother's Day, a day to honor moms. And by 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed it into a national holiday to be the second Sunday in May each year. It's interesting, the history goes that she got very upset at how commercialized Mother's Day got. She's like, this is just to be a celebration, not a day for, you know, flower companies to make money and restaurants. And I was thinking about that. I was like, I understand that she was upset that it becomes commercialized, because you can say that about anything, right? I mean, Christmas, oh my goodness, Easter, right? Any holiday. I mean, quite honestly, birthdays, right? You think of all the businesses that make money out of those things of recognizing, really, which is a good thing to recognize. And obviously, this is not the only day news, right, that we should acknowledge and appreciate moms, but it's still a reminder and to help us remember. It's like, is it better to not acknowledge them at all, or to be aware of because of a holiday and because the beautiful commercials, you know, to send flowers to your mom or phone call or whatever? It's better and to acknowledge the immense impact that we moms have in our lives. If you look up what a mother is, right? A mother is a female parent of a child. Woo, that's profound, isn't it? Regardless of actually birthing them, I added, because you can be a mom and not having birthed a kid, whether you've adopted somebody or whether you became that aunt that could never have kids that ended up being like a mom to a sister's child. And it goes on to say someone who nurtures a child's physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual growth, imparting her values for the child to learn and share with others. A selfless, loving human who must sacrifice many of their wants and needs for the wants and needs of their children. A mother works hard to make sure that the child is equipped with the knowledge, skills, and abilities to make it make them a competent human being. You know, and I think about that, those amazing kind of definitions, you're like, who measures up to that? You know, it's like, and then I ask myself, well, isn't that the kind of influence dads should be too? You know, I think about culture has a way of saying, oh, this is a mom, she's nurturing. Well, guess what? I've met some parents who the dad is more nurturing than the mom. Not to degrade who the mom is, but there's just a different gift mix. A mom who's like super driven and administrative, and the dad is tender and kind-hearted. You know, and just those kind of roles, regardless, there is a role that God's called moms to play in lives that's significant. In describing what motherhood is, motherhood is an understatement, is a major transition. A major transition. Society likes to highlight what motherhood means. It means having a lack of sleep, right? It means that you have no longer are in control of your own life or time. You know, those commercials or those mimes of mom in the bathroom with the door locked just so that they can have a few moments to themselves. And I remember my wife laughing that where she escaped to the bathroom and she looked up and there were little tiny fingers pushing under the door. It's like, kill you, the cuteness of that. But it's like, I can't even get quietness. It's like, they don't need you until you go away and want some minutes for yourself. But we talk about those transitions that happen for moms, you know, whether it's a lack of sleep and no more personal time to enjoy. And psychological studies suggest that motherhood, like any other challenging event or circumstances, can facilitate profound growth. I just think about it, and I write the word can, because it's those opportunities, the challenges that we all face are opportunities for us to grow. If you were to go around the room and say, which one of you have experienced growth? And we'd all say, I have. And you'd say, when did you experience that growth? It's always through difficult circumstances that cause you to question life. You know, to cause you questions like, what is going on? Or how you thought things were going to work out and they don't, beyond your ability to control or change. Liz Hall, a PhD, Dr. Liz Hall, from a professor of psychology at Biola University in La Mirada, California, found in her research that becoming a mother can expand a woman's identity and perspective, developing new personal qualities, many of which impact other areas of life. And that's a way of saying that being a mom brings you into the understanding that your life is not just about you. It's like this kid who thinks that life is now about them. Everything is about them. and that awareness that you that moms become aware of some of the things that she highlights. Motherhood develops an increased sense of empathy, compassion, and awareness of somebody else's needs. Now, I describe that being married is like the bachelor's degree of discovering your selfishness. Having kids is like getting a master's or a doctorate. It's like, at least in marriage, you kind of, it's a give and take, and yeah, I'm selfish sometimes, and so are you. Let's figure out how do we get to team together. Where kids, they are clueless. They are clueless what you give up and how you love them. It's like, they don't even apologize for it. You give them something and they want more of what you just gave them. Parenting a baby, a human with its own needs, helps loose an identity boundaries that life is just about you. When this kid, it is whole own entity, own personality, own person. And motherhood helps develop resilience. And I just think about, you know, the mom who can clean up, barf at 3 a.m. and still go through the next day as a regular human being. It's like, I had no idea that I had those capacity to have a sleepless night and still make lunch for the kids or go to work the next day. And those adventures in marriage. The Bible talks about moms. Obviously, we wouldn't be here and humanity wouldn't grown to the place that it is. But the Bible describes the faith journey of several moms. I think of Jochebed. Anybody know who Jochebed is? They're like, is that like some kind of athletic supporter mom? Excuse me. Okay, Rich, you're not the only one. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. And I get in trouble at lunch. At least Jackie's not here. Well, my daughter is. But she was the mother of Moses, where she protected him, right, in a basket. And then he was saved by the daughter of Pharaoh and then became the leader of Israel out of Egypt. And talk about Sarah, right, waiting for a child. You talk about those circumstances, struggles that really impact and we can relate to, examples of hope, encouragement, and spiritual guidance for moms in lots of seasons of life. I think of Ruth, who demonstrated that motherhood can be spiritual and can be chosen. She was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and her husband died, and her mother-in-law, Naomi, her husband died, and then they went back, and Ruth was faithful to her mom, and in that process, that character developed. She ended up marrying Boaz and then became the great-grandmother of King David, you know, in the lineage of Jesus, a foreigner from Moab, who Israel was commanded not to have any kind of relationship with. And God saw her heart and honored her in that process, showing that faithfulness brings blessing. Mothers like Hannah, who was childless for so many years, teaches us the power of prayer. While Mary, the mother of Jesus, shows how to surrender to God's plan. And all these stories remind us that really it's about a journey. They're not alone in their journey. The Bible is full of stories that kind of people who struggled and came to faith and walked out their faith. As you think about moms and dads are God's designed system for humanity. He established this system of moms and dads for training up human beings to create a kingdom that he wants to have people who love him and honor him. It's always amazing to me that God, who created the universe, can create something from nothing. You know, and yet God allows us little human beings to participate in creating life, something so amazing. And God design of men and women. I think about the beginning when Genesis 2:8, when the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I always wonder, I said, did Adam know that he was alone? You know, as he looked and named all the animals, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't even know if that was on his mind, you know. But God knew he was alone. God knew that what Adam was not meant to have this immense task of creating humanity, to do it alone, that it needed to be in community, in partnership. So God created woman, Eve, to help Adam with this job, this huge job that God had given them. The creation of man and woman did not now make them self-sufficient. You know, there's a lot of people say, oh yeah, we believe there's a God who created the world, and then he just steps back. We're created to be dependent on God. And really, that's the problem, right? Adam and Eve, as they sin, they believe the lie of Satan to say, you can be independent of God. He doesn't have your best in mind. And then sin entered the world, and we still struggle with that. You know, I always think about, you know, just even the struggles I have, that it finally occurs to me, I really ought to pray about this. You know, when you've tried all the things to make things happen, that God created us to be dependent on him, immense kind of power and privilege that we have as humanity. The creation of men and women is really God's invitation to profound participation in creating the kingdom of God, a kingdom that's going to love and honor him. I think about one verse from Malachi 2:15. Has not God made you? The answer is yes. You belong to him in body and in spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. That he wants us to raise kids who honor him. And the only way you and I are going to raise kids who honor God or have an influence on somebody who honors God is by us personally honoring God. We all have been around people who say, do as I say, not as I do, right? And even if they don't say that, you can read through it. It's like, we have to be those things in order to pass on. But that's God's assignment. I think of 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That God created, says, this is the nation I want you to create. It isn't going to just happen. Circumstance, but we get to participate in that. As we talk about moms today, I think of the word perfectly qualified. Perfectly qualified. There's a job that God made to be filled. He set up the job descriptions. That's usually what you do, right? When you have a company or a position, the first thing you do is you describe what it is that you need. What is it that you need? And then you go out and look for that person. God is in that unique place where not only did he create the job description, he perfectly designed the person to fulfill that job description. Wouldn't that be awesome if you could like to have the job description you made for your job or whatever, and then perfectly make this person to fulfill that? God made that perfectly qualified for jobs, God's job description, for the assignment of raising children, for filling his kingdom. When we understand that our job description as moms and dads, as women and men. Hey, I just want to, the reality is we all parent, whether you have kids or not. We all parent. We all have an opportunity to touch people's lives. Yesterday at Maxine's birthday party, I love babies. I love their little fuzzy round head. Nikki, can you put up Samuel if he's not sleeping? Is he sleeping? Yeah, stand up with him. You can turn around. This is my buddy Samuel. And I love those little soft, he's 9 months old. That little, thanks Nikki, Grandma Nikki and Kevin. That little soft bald head. And then I love to touch it and then kiss it and rub my face on his little fuzzy head. And yesterday at Maxine's birthday party, I got to hold Samuel. I got to hold him and play with him. And he's not walking yet, so he put up with me, right? You all know as soon as the kids learn how to walk, they're like, put me down, put me down. But he's at the age where he likes to be held. I was parenting him. I'm not his parent. I'm not related to him other than by Jesus. But by holding him and loving him, I was parenting him. That he would know. And even that was the first time I held him yesterday. But I've always rubbed his head every Sunday that I see him and kiss it. But at some point, I don't know what it was. Yesterday was the first time he reached his arms out to me. I think because I've been loving him and caring about him. That the way God wired me, the way God wired you, we have influence in people's lives. It's one of those things, will Samuel ever remember that? No. Does it impact him? Yes. Why? Because God created a job description and he made you and I to fulfill it. To be nurturing, caretaking, loving, aware, sensitive, dream provoking, hope giving, personality affirming. That we example that, you know, and to see what it is that God's created. Moms and dads are significant because God's created them. Moms and dads are significant because the role that has given them is significant. Fan into flame the person that God has created them to be, helping them to see the beauty of who they are. If there was a do-over, one of the do-overs, and it really had to do more with my identity, my own identity issues, but I would have spent more time fanning into flame the personalities of my kids. You know, what are you good at? Because we all start life with an image of how things should be. And so we tend to emphasize that image and push our kids towards things that really is not for their benefit. Whose benefit is for our benefit? I think about the kids who are really good at sports, but you can tell it's for the parents' enjoyment, not for the kids. It's like they're really good at this, you know, and maybe the dad's like a frustrated, he wished he could have gone pro or, you know, who knows what, and he sees the potential there. But as I have become, it's ironic because I feel like I would have the potential of being a better parent today than I was, you know, 20 years ago. But that's really not the process. Is part of trusting God is that God created the description. God made me for the job. Do you think he knew what he was getting into when he called you to that job? Oh, yeah. He knew what he was calling into. I mean, it's really why, as we come to the church, and we'll celebrate, it comes on June the 8th this year, Pentecost, when God sent his Holy Spirit to come in, because he says, you guys need help. Right? There's a whole Old Testament is like all the failures of humanity, story after story, and little snippets of where people trusted God, not because they were perfect, but because of who God is. And as we bring our parenting, have you ever said, I wished I knew then what I know now? You guys ever say that? It's like you realize that what it would have taken to bear, but it's not God's desire or goal that you and I perfectly execute our life. You know, because we have an image of the list of what life, the perfect life, looks like. Did you know that's not God's goal? God's goal is that our hearts would be changed. And the only way that our hearts change is in recognition of our failures. And really, in parenting, we actually, when we can admit to our kids or and people that we have failed, that we've sinned, that we've been selfish, that we've had a priority of our own identity, not theirs in mind, that we just parented. Why? Because we've admitted that we are imperfect people and that God is the Redeemer. It's an amazing thing. If you look through Scripture, there are no perfect people. Jesus is the only one without sin. And yet God continues to redeem His world through imperfect people. I depend on the Holy Spirit. I depend on His transformation in that journey. When I say that, I do wish I knew then what I know now. But the reality is, even if I did take 2025 Scott back to 2000, it still would require faith. And who I am today would not have come without difficulties, without failures, without repentance. So how do you get that? You get that by... And so I asked myself, what is it I wished I knew today? So that I'm not looking back. It's that journey. And I say that to moms, that our confidence is in the God who made the job description and the God who called you to be a mom. Whether it's in physically a mom or just spiritually in a mom, to the impact you have on kids, the neighbor girls that come over or the boys that come over your house, because you're the cool people on the block. Because they see something different about you. That you have an influence. That you have an impact. We fulfill that job assignment. If you think the goal is to be the perfect mom or dad, you're going to fail. If your goal is to raise godly offspring by submitting all of who you are to God, you're going to see a miracle. You're going to see a miracle. My kids are way better than I ever was. Way better than I deserve. And it's come through my faith in Jesus. And I know that my mom, we had three kids, and I think, I want to say maybe my daughter was in the third grade, so maybe fifth grade, third grade, first grade, maybe a couple years older than that. My mom came to visit, and I had just got after one of our kids for something, and they went off crying. And my mom, we were all having this nice lunch outside on the porch on the picnic table, and then I'm feeling a little, well, this is life. You know, I was feeling a little bad about it. And my mom said, Scott, you're an amazing dad. You guys are amazing parents. You guys are doing stuff way better than your dad and I did. That spoke volumes. In the moment, honestly, I felt like a failure. Not necessarily in my response, but like, wow, we've raised our kids better than that. But how many know that you can play amazing kids at the restaurant or for an hour or two, but come and live at home, you get things, the wheels come off the bus sometimes. It's kind of like, this is reality. And it was so affirming that my mom, even in the imperfection of our home, she saw our heart desire to want to raise godly children. And I love, and I look, you know, just my goal is to improve on the model. Like my parent, my mom and said to us, and my dad said to us, you guys have improved on the model. I wanted my kids to improve on the model. Not because they're perfect, but because they're pursuing the Lord and trusting Him. We fulfill our job assignment by being nurturing, by being tender, by being aware, by being compassionate, by being insightful, by being life-giving, by being Christ-trusting. We honor God when we bring our passions, our awarenesses, those things, our sensitivities, and our personalities, and our experiences to our parenting. It's like, this is who I am. I don't get another me. This is what you got to work with. You know, it just, the realization, I remember my older sister, she was just convinced she was adopted. She goes, I am so different than you guys, her younger brother and sister. I must have been adopted. We still laugh about that. She wasn't adopted. But she marches to her own beat. She was wanting justice for women way before it was the socially accepted. In fact, my cousin said to me, she goes, I remember Susan like being in the sixth grade telling me she wasn't, when she got married, she wasn't keep taking his name. She liked her name. She's keeping her name. She goes, it was something that wasn't even thought about. It was like, she says, where did she get that from? Well, she got that from God. That personality that says, that sees injustice and just wondering, asking questions, why? Why does it have to be that way? You know, that's what she gets to bring to her parenting. You get to bring your experiences, your passions. When we submit them to God, He uses them for good. I love it. It's a transforming, changing painting that happens. The light bulb just doesn't go on and you're all better and you're the perfect parent. The light bulb needs to go on again and again and again. You know, just about time you think whatever age parenting down, you have it down, things change. Your kid changes because they're going through that same process to grow into the kingdom building influential people that God intends them to be, that He's preparing them to fulfill the job that God has called them to. Our assignment as parents is the same whether you're a mom or dad, right? Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two guiding principles for Christianity that Jesus said, hey, if you do these two things, you got it all covered. That doesn't mean it's simple, right? But it means we keep that into focus. How we bring that, those differences of who we are to our parenting has an influence. It never stops having influence. Even if you have regrets in your parenting or broken relationship with your kids, you still can parent by how you allow God to grow you and humble you, to bring your teachability and say, man, I don't know what I'm doing, right? God, would you help me? In different ages, especially in your teenage years, we had to do that a lot. Say, oh, Lord, help us. And at the same time, pretend like we knew what we're doing. It's like, oh, yeah, we got this covered. Oh, God, help us. I remember my son, he's out of college. He says, Dad, I got it figured out. I said, oh, yeah? What do you got figured out? He said, I got figured out life. Yeah? Tell me. He says, nobody's got it figured out. I said, you're so wise. You are so smart. That's exactly right. And then we get to look to the one who does have it figured out, can navigate and pull all these different pieces together to trust Him in the process. As we were talking last night, I was sharing at the table. One of the things and if you're around me, you get this. We talk about peaks and valleys. Happy crappy of the day. I've added, because a lot of times I don't have a valley. I added one, I said, what was enjoyable about your day and what was really hard? And so I shared, what was enjoyable about it. And then I shared, it was really hard writing my sermon about Mother's Day. And I said, it just hasn't landed yet. You can have words on a page and maybe a verse or two or maybe a bunch, but I want it to land here so that the message that comes out here doesn't come off a page, doesn't come off of three amazing points, but comes from the gospel to come out of who I am. So the gospel is seen, not just heard. And I was talking to her and talking about just God's perfectly qualified moms for this job. And we just talked about who we are becoming, and we can't see it. And she just reflected, and I asked her permission to share just a story. She went to college to become a nurse, and her major was biology. And she did not have the grades to get into the nursing program up at George Fox. And she was totally distraught. I mean, it really was a upset the apple cart in her walk with the Lord. And she said, I'm so angry. I've dreamed of being a nurse, and I've taken all these biology classes, and I'm set up for this. I'm mad at God. You messed me up. And she went on a journey there saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've got this biology degree and I can't be a nurse. What am I going to do? And so she went on a road trip down, say, my mom down in L.A. And then she went across the states all the way to Georgia and became a nanny to her cousin's kids, her cousin and his wife, her kids. And she says, here I am. I got a college degree and now I'm a nanny. I says, what in the world is this about? And so I think for a year and a half, she was a nanny to their young kids, a young baby and maybe a two-year-old. And then she finished that and came back and stayed in Chico, California with Jackie's sister and ended up being a CNA at a nursing home. And she likes medical, and so this was like, oh, maybe this is a thing. And at the same time, she just felt unsettled. And then she came back home. In fact, she moved back in with us when Jackie and I started pastoring this church in 2014. And an opportunity opened up for her to teach at the school district in Albany. And not only could she teach, but they would pay for her master's in teaching because they were so in need of special education behavioral teachers. And so she went in a year and got her master's and had taught while she was going to school and then got a full-time teaching job when she's done. And she related last night to me. She says, I had no idea what God was preparing me for. She said, I am using my biology degree. I'm using my experience as a nanny in parenting. They call them teachers. But parenting, nurturing, affirming a class of behavioral kids. Some are drug impacted. Some come from terrible family backgrounds. But all in need of God's love. And she said, I had no idea that the assignment that I'm doing today all those things, those pieces that God was preparing me for this unique situation, to love not only kids, but even support parents that have her on their cell phone and they call her for encouragement and advice in the difficult situations that they're in. And she said, I have no idea. And I just think about just how many, you know, I think of high school kids who say, I'm never going to use this, right? Algebra, I'm never going to use this. History, I'm never going to use this. You know, now us, we're like, what in the world is this about? This is like a dead-end street that I'm on, not leading to anywhere. And I'm here to encourage you that no matter what circumstance you are facing or have faced, that God is preparing you for the job that He created you for. That's what you get to bring to your parenting, your struggles, your broken relationships. As God, as you submit them to God to grow you, you get to bring that to your parenting, whether it's an infant, whether it's a teenager, or whether it's a grown adult. Your opportunity to parent will never stop until the day you die. I don't care. I can speak that with conviction because I'm an old guy with grown adults, and my parents could still bless me by what they said, by what they saw, by what they affirmed, by their confession of their difficulties and imperfections. I am so blessed by the profound creation of God's position of moms and dads. We've all been shaped, good and bad, but I'm saying even the bad things that you've been shaped, God is shaping you so that you can be an amazing parent because of what you've learned. And you don't have to bear a kid to be a parent. You know, I think of teenage girls and boys. My kids loved the boy babysitters because they had fun. She goes, when is so-and-so, Josh, coming over to watch us again? You know, and says, we had so much fun. You know, we didn't sit around and paint, you know, or do hair. We went out and did crazy stuff and wrestled and hide and seek or whatever. But I think about even those young lives are impacting, have influence over kids. My mom wasn't perfect, and I wasn't either. I think about my mom was, I don't recall her being disciplined by her. She could discipline me, I guess, with her disappointment. But I think about, you know, as a seventh grader, the nearest thing to discipline was her chasing me around the dining room table with the broom. You know, that was the discipline that I experienced. But she was super affirming. A kid who struggled with a lazy eye, you know, and I've had three operations to kind of help coax it the right way. And so very insecure. And you can be beautiful and perfectly formed and still be insecure. So it's an inside issue. But she was very affirming to me in anything that I tried to say. She was proud of me, that she loved what I was doing, and she would go to the things that I would choose to do. But I think that who I am today was shaped by her welcome, her hospitality, her love for Jesus. All those things that really, I couldn't even list them all, but I know who I am today is the result of my mom and my dad. When you study in the moms in the Bible, you realize they weren't perfect either. Some had some issues, some small, some very big. But I'm thankful that being a godly mom or being a godly dad isn't dependent on perfection. What it is dependent on is your willingness to grow in your faith, grow in grace, and grow in love, and pointing your kids to Jesus as to why you do what you do. I did a shout out for moms. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for bringing your imperfections. And I don't know what it looks like to you. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe you got lunch planned. Maybe it's even an estranged relationship that God would prompt you to make that phone call. And you can just acknowledge that. I know you weren't the perfect mom, but I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what you brought. And maybe the Lord would give you the words to say, because even, that's going to sound kind of weird, but I think the nature of parenting, all those things, nurturing, affirming, can also be given to parents. And I think that for parents who didn't receive that from their parents, but gave it to the kids, you as a child can give that to a parent as you talk to them and appreciate them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning that we get to celebrate moms. Lord, I pray that there's laughter there. There's a lot of amazing things, just like the as we remember pictures and celebrate just some great memories. Lord, we acknowledge that there have been good things imparted to us. Lord, that we would remember those things, Lord, in spite of not ignoring, not denying the hard things and imperfection, but acknowledging the good things that have come about because of our moms or because of those mother figures in our lives. Lord, I pray a blessing on moms today, a blessing of encouragement, that they just get to bring their brokenness, they get to bring their frailty, they get to bring their tiredness, their exhaustion, Lord, to you, Lord, and say, God, would you help them to walk in the fullness of the job description that you created. Lord, as they say, Holy Spirit, come, Lord, come and help us. Lord, we celebrate, Lord, the faith of moms to hang in there, even though some of us kids, they would like to drop off. Lord, we celebrate the mothers that you created. We love you, God. Amen.